Hello and welcome to another episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. I'm James.
And I'm Sarah.
And on this week's episode, we're going to look at a website that I found this week called Safe Zone Project and take a look at some of the resources that they have on the website and discuss a few different topics that they have included. So there's one that's called 30 plus examples of cisgender privileges. There's also 30 plus examples of male privileges. 5 reasons why so many people believe feminism hates men and why they're not true. And then I also thought that we could talk about the 17 lies we need to stop teaching girls about sex and 17 lies we need to stop teaching boys about sex.
There we go.
We don't necessarily need to go through all of those, but I thought we could look at some of them. And then we will include the link to this website in the description of the podcast this week. But before you do that, how's Sarah doing? How are things going?
They're going. I'm alive.
Have you heard anything about that interview?
No, I have not heard back.
And did you reach out to anyone?
No.
Sarah?
I know.
You even said it on the podcast.
I know. I even said I was going to, and then I forgot all about it. Things have been a little hectic.
Well, we will pause recording now and you can send an email.
Or you could just remind me at the end.
All right. That works too.
But anyway, yeah, I just, you know, chugging along. How are you? How was your week?
It was good. It was long for some reason. It felt like it was so long. And then I was at work every day except for Thursday because Monday and Tuesday we had new hire orientation. Wednesday I had something that I needed to be there for, but I don't remember what it was now. And then Friday I was teaching the grow program class that we were doing, and it was pretty fun. I liked the class that we did this week. It was on self-leadership. So it was fun. It was a lot of videos and then like a lot of them reflecting on the information that was in the video. So it's, I wasn't just standing up there talking all the time. And they were, I was like, this is a lot of, you need to give into this conversation too, because it's not just a one way classroom. And then Thursday night, I also went to a podcasting 101 event at Lit Arts RI here in Rhode Island, or podcasting 102. And it was, I don't know that I necessarily needed it because it was all about using the like recording devices and then how to edit a podcast. And I was like, I already know how to do this, but they were focusing on one specific product and it's called Descript. And it's, I mean, it's a cool product, but it's also kind of expensive to use because you only have, I think it was like 60 minutes of transcription that you can do. And basically anytime you load in a video or an audio soundtrack, it transcribes it into a script that you then can go in and edit the script along with the video or the audio. And it was cool and I liked it, but it's like if you want to do more than that, it's almost $300.
Jesus.
A year. So it's, I mean, it's an annual subscription, but
still though.
And there were parts of it that I didn't like that I already know how to do in GarageBand. So why switch to something that costs something when I have GarageBand, which is free?
There you go.
And there was something that GarageBand can do that it cannot. So I liked GarageBand more a little bit. I mean, the part where you can... So one of the best things about it is because it has the script, it's basically like a Word document at the top and then the audio portion of it at the bottom. The good thing about it is... If you wanted to get rid of all of Sarah's ums, it's possible because you can just go in and there's an option that says remove filler words and you can have it automatically remove them.
What if it considers a regular word a filler word?
Then you can add it back in. Well, you tell it what filler words to choose. So there's like a list and you can check and uncheck ones and is one of them. Uh-huh. It did a pretty good job.
Because I do say quite a bit.
Yes, you do. And it's, I mean, it's all AI generated. So that's a cool thing about artificial intelligence that we can use too. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about the safe zone. So I was looking at, or the Safe Zone project. I was looking at stuff online about Safe Zone certifications, where you can basically do certain things and you're considered a safe zone. I haven't found anything where it's like, yeah, you can get this certification if you do these things, but I found this website that is called the Safe Zone Project, where they have a bunch of links to information about how you can be more LGBTQ plus friendly. And then there's a 2-hour curriculum guide that they have that kind of gives you information to do trainings and facilitate courses that help set up the more LGBTQ plus friendly zone. And part of that was these resources that was included on the page. And I thought, what a cool topic to talk about this week.
Yeah.
Since we're in 2 weeks, we'll be in Pride Month. And funny thing is, we are going to be taking a break. So we'll highlight that at the top of this. So just like last year, every 48 episodes, we're going to take a break. So yeah. We'll after this one, we have one more episode, and that's 48. And then we will be done with season 2, take a couple weeks off, and then pick back up on season 3 of the podcast.
I can't believe we're already on season 3.
I know. It was August 25th, I think, is when we did our first podcast. So it's been 2 years already. Or April, not August, April.
I was going to say, I think it was April.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's wild. That's wild.
Fun times.
We started doing this when I had long COVID.
Well, you had long COVID for a long time anyway.
that's true. I had long COVID for like 2 years. That sucked. I do not recommend.
Well, did you get a chance to take a look at the different parts that I was talking about, except for the last two, because I just brought those up?
Yeah, except for the last two, because like you said, you just brought those up, but we were on the same wavelength. I was like, ooh, we should look at these too.
Yeah.
The only critique that I had for this Safe Zone project was under one of their resources, they listed a video series by Lacey Green. And Lacey Green is not a good person. She went from being a feminist, quote unquote, to supporting literal hate groups, including several groups who deal with incels, which incel means involuntary celibate, which is basically a group of men who have never had sex and are angry at women for that.
Thanks. But
she went from being like an LGBTQ plus ally to saying that trans people don't exist and all this other stuff. So like she, yes, used to be a good resource for a lot of feminist topics, a lot of LGBTQ plus topics. But she, in the last few years, has completely done a 180 and stopped being a good resource.
Yeah, I do think that's one of the good things about this project, because you can actually say, like, you can submit some feedback on some of the stuff that they have on their account, and they will review it and potentially get back to you and let you know kind of their justification for keeping it on there. Or they'll say, oh, no, you're right. Thank you for bringing this information to our attention, so we'll remove it. So I think that's one of the cool things. And it's so just some background. I was just looking up the Safe Zone project team. And it says meet the people bringing you this free online resource, curriculum, activities, and other rainbow themed goodness. And the Safe Zone Project was founded in 2013 by Meg Bolger, B-O-L-G-E-R, and Sam Killerman. Oh, that's a crazy last name. And as a free online resource for folks doing LGBTQ plus awareness and ally trainings. Meg and Sam, having both been heavily involved in Safe Zone LGBTQ plus awareness trainings for a number of years, individually collaborated to build a platform for those who were interested in starting Safe Zone and similar trainings to have a place to build their curriculum and a place to organize, or place for organizations already running Safe Zones to improve their existing workshops. So it's just a little background about it. And it's part of a project called Hues, which is a global justice collective of art, tools, and resources. That's kind of it's not its own thing. It's part of Hues, which whenever I clicked on the link that they have included, it took me nowhere. So that's interesting. Anyways, so do you want to jump into the first one, which is the cisgender 30 plus examples of cisgender privileges?
Yes.
And the first one is you can use public restrooms without fear of verbal abuse, physical intimidation, or arrest. And I will say, as a cisgender male, I can kind of agree with that. But then I also have had some issues using a bathroom at one point because I am a larger guy and do have a larger chest area. So sometimes it kind of, in some shirts, looks like I have breasts. So there have been somebody saying something to me at one point.
Because you do have breasts. They're called breasts on both men and women. Like, that's just how anatomy works. I was going to say something along those same lines. I'm not cis. However, I know that there are a lot of cisgender women, specifically cisgender Black women, who get, you know, a lot of verbal abuse, physical intimidation, that kind of thing, because they're not quote unquote feminine enough.
Yeah.
So that can happen to cisgender women and men.
Yeah. And that kind of brings up the point, and we've been talking about it all week, back and forth on, well, talking about it. I've been sending you videos of the thing that happened at the House of Representatives.
Yes.
Committee meeting. The Bleach Blonde Bad Built Butch Body, which I agree. I think that Green is a terrible person, terrible human being, but that is a little bit kind of a negative way to say it, because you're basically saying anyone that looks like her is less, kind of, in a way. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's a funny meme, and I think it's funny because of the person. If you think of how that applies to other people that have a similar, like, structure, bone structure and build to her, it's, you're demoralizing them too.
Yeah. It's one of the reasons why I don't like
physical attacks on people. Well,
yeah, it's just like, I get it, I understand, but that's the lowest that you can possibly go.
Yeah.
Like, attacking somebody's looks is just so cheap, in my opinion. But, like, I mean, I agree with you. I still thought it was funny, but yeah. I also recognize that's not cool.
And Jasmine did kind of do an interview about it, and she was like, I don't agree with what I, like, the way that I said it, but I feel like I was showing her, if you are going to be that low, which is you were being lower than I was, then you can be met with the same type of resistance. And I think somebody asked her, do you think that the Michelle Obama quote, when they go low, you rise above, is this you rising above? And she said, no, it's not.
I love that. Love everything about that.
And we'll just do a couple of each of these, and then that way we're not on here for like 3 hours.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Again, the second one kind of goes hand in hand with the first one, which is you can use public facilities such as gym locker rooms and store changing rooms without stairs, fear, or anxiety, which, again, if it's more of a, if you present in as cisgender in the stereotypical ways, like if you are a stereotypical female, quote unquote, or a stereotypical male, you know, that's the privilege.
Yeah. So I'm going to jump around because I think the next couple are similar. But I'm going to jump down to the one, it's number, oh gosh, where is it? Oh, there it is. Number 15. You do not have to defend your right to be part of the queer community or and gays and lesbians will not try to exclude you from their equal rights movement because of your gender identity and or equality movement, including feminist rights.
It's true.
So if you don't identify as cisgender, but you still believe in the same like beliefs as the feminist movement, you're basically what this is saying. It seems like you're more likely to be met with more resistance when you try to get involved. Or they could be like, well, you don't even identify as a female. Why are you trying to, or maybe you should instead say you do actually identify as a female to be part of the feminist movement.
Yeah, which is ridiculous, but it does happen. I remember facing, before I realized that I was a lesbian, back when I was believing that I was bisexual, I faced a lot of biphobia from, you know, lesbians in the community, you know? And like, that happens. That happens. Like, people will tell trans women, oh, you can't be a lesbian. It's like, yeah, she can. She's a woman.
Yeah.
Lesbian is a woman loving another woman. So
I do have to say, it does get kind of muddy, the bisexual and pansexual part of it. I don't really understand the difference, except for I think somebody defined it as bisexual means you are attracted to male and female, whereas pansexual is you're attracted to anyone regardless of their gender. So if they're genderqueer or they don't identify as a specific gender, you could still be attracted to them.
Right. So bisexual is being attracted to two or more genders. And then pansexual is being attracted regardless of gender.
Yeah. Okay.
So, in retrospect, I probably would have ended up identifying more as pansexual, really.
Yeah.
At that time, before I figured it out. At that time, I was just like, yeah, everybody's kind of cute, I guess. So, this one, your identity was not formally, until 2013, considered a mental pathology. Gender identity disorder is in the DSM-4 by the psychological and medical establishments, and still pathologized, oh my God, by the public.
Yeah. I will say there are two on here that I don't quite agree with. And it's 20 and 21. And I think it's there needs to be like a caveat to it, the statements, because it says you can purchase clothes that match your gender identity without being refused. Well, that one. Okay, that one's not the one. 21 is specifically. You can purchase shoes that fit your gender expression without having to order them online or in special sizes or asking someone to custom make them. I don't 100% agree with that, because I'm a cisgender male, but I think there needs to be like a caveat or a qualifier to this that says it's more likely that you can purchase shoes that fit your gender expression without having to order them. Because there's a lot of times when they don't have the shoes that I wear in my size in right. on site. And the same thing with clothes. Like, I'm tall, but I'm also large, bigger. So I do always have to order my jeans and my shoes a lot of the times online, or I just go small. I with shoes specifically, I get a smaller size and just deal with it,
which is so bad for your feet.
I know.
But I was going to say, back when I used to identify as a woman, I could never find shoes in my size.
Yeah, because you got boats.
Because I have big feet. I have real big feet. So I would agree with that, is that if you're, again, it's going off of like what is considered like stereotypical femininity and masculinity.
Yeah.
It's not actually necessarily cisgender privileges so much as it is a privilege for people who've had the system built for them, fitting within a specific.
Yeah. Do you want to do one more, and then we'll jump to the male privilege portion of it? Because I'm sure you'll have a lot to put in there.
Your gender is an option on a form. That one I agree with.
Yeah.
Because anytime that I have to fill out a form, there is almost never an option for non-binary.
Yeah. This is a question that I'm kind of asking to you, but then also to the ether. If you have the option that says other, do you think that is a little demoralizing?
A little bit.
Yeah.
But like at the same time, it's kind of like one of those things of get it where you can, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's kind of like, because there are so many options, why wouldn't you just make it a free text box where you can put whatever you want in there? And right. then that way you're not including people, but excluding others. And to me, I think it's demoralizing if you choose the word other because your option is not listed. So why not just make it a free text box where you can type in whatever you want, or just make it a box where you can write in anything and there's no check. That kind of goes with the next one that says you can tick a box on a form without someone disagreeing and telling you not to lie.
Yeah.
That's insane. I don't understand why it's anybody's business or why they push back. It's like, what do you gain from doing that? Who are you?
No idea.
No idea. Let's jump over to the male privilege, because I'm sure we can spend 45 minutes on this one.
We don't have to spend 45 minutes on it.
Yeah. I think the one that kind of jumps out at me the most is number 8. A decision to hire you won't be based on whether the employer assumes you will be having children in the near future. And technically, it's illegal for an employer to ask you that and then also make a hiring decision based on that information. Now, saying that, it is hard to prove that that's the reason that they didn't hire you, unless it's like documented that they ask you whether you're going to be having children, which I don't know why any company or any person that's doing hiring would do that, because that's a giant lawsuit towards that company.
Yeah, but like you said, it's almost impossible to prove, so.
And that doesn't mean it doesn't happen either.
The first three, I feel like you could make as just one. So if you have a bad day or are in a bad mood, if you're careless with your money, or if you're a careless driver, you do not have to worry about people blaming those things on your gender. And that was, and like being somebody who menstruates, that first one is the truest one.
Oh, yeah.
Because everybody, if I was upset about something it didn't matter whether I was rightfully upset about something or not. Like, it didn't matter what I was upset about. Inevitably, it was always, oh, are you on your period? Oh, are you getting ready to start your period? Oh, it's because girls are so emotional. Oh, it's because you're so hormonal.
Yeah. Well, there's even the term, they're ragging on you.
Yeah.
Like, because in some places, the term rag is used in place of period or menstrual cycle. Those are interesting. And I think they make, like, I've heard the careless driver, and I think, Sarah, you're just a bad driver. It doesn't have anything to do with your gender.
No, I know I'm a bad driver. Like, but you're right.
But yes, you're right.
It has nothing to do with my
gender. There is a lot where you'll hear people say, oh, she's a woman driver, or, oh, she doesn't know how to, she's careless with her money because she's a woman. And it's like, yeah. men can be fairly careless with their money and terrible drivers, and are in a bad mood for absolutely no reason.
Men get to be in a bad mood all the time. And I'm just like, I want to be in a bad mood.
Yeah.
Without somebody trying to like blame it on something. You're not emotionally fulfilled.
Ooh. Oh, I think 11 and 12 are good ones. And things that I think you, two that I think would make sense for you to talk about.
Oh, yeah. So you can go on a date with a stranger without the fear of being raped. You can dress how you want and not worry. It'll be used as a defense if you are raped.
Yeah, and I think the same thing goes for like school children, like people in school, because you can dress, like boys can come dressed in those like shirt or sleeveless shirts that are cut down the side where you can see their sides. But a girl that wears a tank top that is covering everything but is spaghetti strap is considered against dress code.
Yeah.
I don't understand dress codes. And this last week we did our discussion board was about finding a specific topic that we wanted to do. And someone talked about making it a requirement to have a what is it called? It's not costume. Private uniform? School. Yes, uniforms. Thank you. So uniforms required in public schools. And like part of their defense was because there's no wiggle room with what you're wearing. It's based on like, this is the requirements. This is what's provided or what's required. And you have to buy this specific thing. And I was like, I don't know. I've never agreed with uniforms, and I've never agreed with the whole dress code thing. I don't understand it, except to enforce like things like you're not wearing something that is like rude or offensive. So like you don't have curse words on your shirt, and there's no big middle finger on your shirt, especially in school or at work. It's like you're a professional, you're in a professional setting, or you're in a setting that's there to, you're there to learn, and doing that would be distracting, whereas someone showing their shoulder isn't really distracting. And if it is, it's not the person's that's wearing its fault, it's the other person's fault.
So two number 14, there's so many good ones. Number 14 for sure. Where is it?
So number 14, I kind of understand, but it's also like there's a lot of pressure for men to have children too, because it's like, because for men, it's like, well, you need to carry on the family line. And it's like, do you? Some family lines should end.
You're not,
but it's not like the thing about their masculinity isn't questioned. But I will say, if there is, like, it is a very big stigma that if you cannot, like, if there's something wrong with your sperms, that kind of brings in question your masculinity, your sperms.
That does.
Yeah,
that does. I will agree with that. But in general, though.
Yeah. If you choose, like
men can choose not to have children and nobody bats an eye.
Yeah.
A woman says she doesn't want to have a child and everybody's just like, you'll change your mind.
And that's the reason I don't understand the whole concept of women, like, two things. I don't understand why it's not more common for men to have a vasectomy if they don't want to have kids. Because if you choose later, you can always have it reversed.
Oh, because there's this whole societal belief that women are the ones who have to prevent pregnancy.
I don't understand that. That's so strange.
Literally put it all on us. That's the reason why, you know, we are supposed to take birth control, even though birth control is so bad for your body.
And the whole concept of, well, if you don't really want to get pregnant, you can tell your body not to. Like,
oh my God.
I don't think you know how science works if that's your argument.
Yeah. Shoot me in,
like,
the face.
That's the argument for, like, a rape case where a pregnancy comes from a rape is like, well, if she was, her body has ways of shutting down, so it could have prevented the pregnancy. That's not how science works. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works.
Yeah, but we're not talking about people who, like, believe in science, friend. Yeah. We're talking about people.
That's true.
But anyway, speaking of those people, though, most political representatives share your gender, particularly the higher ups.
Yeah, that.
Which is true.
That is true. I do not quite agree.
There's a lot of men making a lot of decisions about women's bodies.
Yeah. And it's ridiculous, but I'm jumping to a different one. That's kind of in the same vein, but a little bit different. Where is it? Oh, number 27. If you're not conventionally attractive or in shape, you don't have to worry as much about it negatively affecting your social or career potential. I don't necessarily agree with that.
I do.
I only say I don't because I've seen it happen where there is a more attractive person that gets hired or someone that is in shape and a person that is better qualified for the role didn't. So I don't think that I completely agree with that statement. And I would kind of argue for it to be removed.
I would not have it removed. I might have it altered because that's actually something that I noticed a lot growing up, which was, for example, King of Queens. What's his name? Kevin, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. He's a big dude. And he had Leah Remini as playing his wife. And she was this beautiful, skinny, conventionally attractive woman. And, like, that's not the only case. Like, there's tons of things, like, on TV where the guy who's not as attractive or he's not, you know, what people would consider, like, conventionally attractive, like, he's overweight or whatever, and he still ends up with a bombshell for or a wife.
I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm saying that's, to me, that's more, that was the, not, I mean, it's not a good joke, but that was the joke of it, that, oh, he's ugly, but he still has this beautiful wife.
And, like, and I understand why you would think that it's that way, but it literally is just he's a dude and women will go with whatever, you know, like, it growing up, it really brought the viewpoint of men can be whatever they want to be. They can be whatever they are and someone's still going to want them. Whereas if you're a girl, you have to be attractive or else nobody's going to want you.
Yeah. And I have to remember that my brain, because I am a male, it's set up to automatically be like, I don't know that I believe that, but it's because I haven't experienced it firsthand. So my brain, that's the reason my brain automatically jumps to that.
No, I know. Like, I understand that. That's why I'm over here. Like, but friend,
I mean, I don't think it needs to be on here, because I think it goes about the same for either gender. But I mean, you are pointing out a couple of instances where it is the opposite, but I'm going to move down to a different one. Moving on.
Number 34.
I was going to say number 30. You can go to a car dealership or mechanic and assume you'll have a fair deal and not be taken advantage of. That one I think should be higher on the list, because it is 100% true.
Yeah, that one should definitely be higher on the list.
Like, I saw a TikTok of I think it was a gay man, and he was like, I don't know what his sexual orientation was, but he said, I've lived in New York my whole life. I've never had to get a car, but I'm moving somewhere where now I have to get a car. And if I ever have to take it to get it worked on because of the way that I look and that I am a man, they're going to assume that I know something. And they could say, oh, it's because your clitoris is broken. And I'd be like, oh, okay, what do I need to do to fix it? And then he said something about he was talking to one of his friends, and he was messaging him because they were supposed to meet up. And his friend said, oh, hey, sorry, I'm running late. I had to blow a tranny and I blew a tranny in my car. And the guy goes, well, first of all, I don't think you can say that word. And second of all, I don't need to know your personal preferences. And he goes, no, transmission.
Yeah. Ooh. You are unlikely to be interrupted in conversations because of your gender, which, if that is not the truest thing, working with the public is especially bad, because men do not listen. They don't listen at all. And I don't understand. I'm like, I literally am I'm the one who knows what's going on. I'm the one telling you what to do. What do you mean you know better than I do? I don't understand.
I will say I'm bad about interrupting people, but it's mainly when I get excited about something and I want to like give my input before we move on.
Right. Like, I know that not every dude that interrupts me is interrupting me because he's being an asshole.
Do you, Sarah?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes.
Because some of your statements may speak to the opposite of that.
This next article that we're going to read makes me extremely happy. You know why?
The 5 reasons why so many people believe feminism hates men and why they're not true.
Exactly.
I will say, some of the statements that you do say, it does. I'm not saying because you're a feminist, it does seem like you really do hate men, like all men. But I am a man, so you don't hate all of them because you love me.
Exactly. I'm dating a man, obviously. Like, you know, I love men. I expect more from them. I expect better from them. I expect them to actually treat everybody like human beings and not be assholes about shit. And apparently that means that I hate them.
Yeah, I don't. And there's the TikTok video where, and I love that people are turning it, where it's a girl. And she goes, I'm not a feminist. I love to cook. Or I actually love to cook, something like that. And then it cuts to someone does a stitches the video, and they go, and it's like a scientist, a female scientist. She goes, I am a feminist. Watch me cook. And it just like shows her doing her amazing job.
Yeah. It's
it is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, I don't understand why that's people's mindsets.
I don't understand. I'm just like, I don't understand what is so wrong about wanting people to be nice to other people.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand.
Anyway. So like the first one, I think this goes for a lot, not just feminism, but it's like the same thing. It's where one person ruins it for everybody. And it's number one is because some individual feminists do hate all men. And it's like, just because one person feels that way or one person does something that kind of speaks to that doesn't mean that they speak for everyone that's in the same movement. Right. It's kind of like the whole thing with like the amount of African-American men that leave their family. It's like, just because some do doesn't mean all do. So
right.
Not all African-American children have an absenteeism father. So it's
right.
It's a very strange option. And I don't understand that mindset.
I also don't understand that mindset. But there.
And I like the statement, a portion does not equal the whole, even if that portion is really loud. I do feel like sometimes that those portions that are really loud do drown out the other portion, and it does kind of muddy the water, we'll say.
It can, but it doesn't help that it doesn't help. Hold on, because like it actually, what you said leads into number two. Okay. Because people have been told feminists hate men for 200 plus years.
Yeah.
You know, the whole feminists hate men thing has been tossed around for quite a long time. It's not new. Primarily the rights that women were asking for originally were to own property, to attend college, to vote. In response to these requests, they were labeled as anti-family, anti-God, anti-men, radical hedonists. Okay. And that has continued. And the reason it's continued is because, surprise, a group with a lot of power, men, tends to do whatever it can to maintain that power, which is dismiss equal rights as radical.
Yeah, and I will say it kind of, like, it goes back to the way that the media does portray things. And most of the time, what people, not only what is the media presenting, but it's what people are looking for is negative stuff. So the more people that are looking for it, because media is a business, the more views they'll get, the more clicks they'll get, whatever, the more likely they are to highlight more of the negative portion of something than highlight the positives. And I think that's something that there needs to be a way to find, like, a media outlet that you can find that does a good job of showing both sides and especially highlighting positive attributes of specific things.
Right.
And then the next one is, because most men aren't bad, but think feminism says they are.
Yep. And it lists
a few myths. Yeah.
Yeah. So the first myth is, being a feminist doesn't mean you believe all men are rapists. This quote comes from a book by Marilyn French, and it seems to be recited more by anti-feminists as a means of debunking feminism than feminists themselves.
Yeah. And the next one is, being a feminist doesn't mean you think all men are evil. Following up on the last point, a lot of anti-feminist folks make the argument that feminists believe all men are evil, and that is just not true.
Being a feminist doesn't mean you blame every individual man you know for hundreds of years of oppressive behavior. Just like you wouldn't point at a random white person today and blame them for slavery, you can't blame an individual man today for a history of sexism.
Yeah. And I mean, I would say the slavery, the white person for slavery thing, I don't know that I would 100% agree with that, because I know that person isn't specifically, but like their ancestors more than likely owned slaves. If they are white people, yeah, more than likely there someone in their ancestry had something to do with slavery. So whatever they can do to prevent it is something they should.
Yes. And it says, sexism is the problem. Sexism that a lot of men engage in and a lot of women internalize. That's the thing I think that needs to be highlighted, is it kind of along the same veins of what you were saying, is like, you know, if you look at a white person, especially here in the United States, they more than likely at some point in their historical background owned slavery, like owned slaves, owned other human beings.
Yeah.
But the same thing is, the men of previous generations have all helped and or, you know, hindered, however you look at it. Is there's a lot of men out there who their family historically has been anti-woman, anti, you know, equal rights, so on and so forth. And like that attitude can get passed down generationally.
Yeah. And I will say it's interesting to see kind of that, because that mentality is very much like my grandmother's husband has that mentality that women are supposed to be subservient. They're supposed to listen to what their husbands say. And my grandmother very much has, like, she lives based on like what he says. And it kind of frustrates me sometimes, because I've had conversations with her, and especially like when she talks about voting, she's like, well, I just vote for whoever he votes for. And that's just why I do. It's like, but how do you know? Why are you voting for that person?
Right.
Is it because he's telling you to vote for that person, or do you believe in what they believe? If you believe in what they believe, then I think, I mean, your opinion is obviously misguided, but that's right. that's your opinion. That's why the world is what it is. You can make your own opinion. But why is your opinion that, and how is it? Why are you actually open to looking into other opinions? The other thing. I love my grandmother. She's an amazing woman, but she does have some flaws like everyone.
Right. It's interesting to me because a lot of people talk about, oh, they want to have a relationship like, you know, their grandparents. Their grandparents were married for like, you know, XYZ years. But a lot of people don't realize that women couldn't even have their own credit cards until the 80s.
It was the 70s. But yeah,
I thought it was the 80s.
No, it was the 70s.
Okay. But still though.
But yes, that was still a very long time. And you're right. It is weird that people don't know that.
It's like your grandmother couldn't leave. She couldn't own property. She couldn't own, you know, like she couldn't have her own bank account.
Yeah. And I think that goes back to the thing that we were talking about in the last one, where it's because it's driven by the politicians, and they're the ones that are making like the schooling, what the school's curriculum include. And they don't want that information to be highlighted because it's like a negative thing about men in schooling. And they want to make sure that there's no negative light on certain things. Do you want to go to number four?
I did want to say one last thing on like what I was just talking about is that women weren't even allowed to be educated in the United States until like the 1800s.
Yeah.
And they weren't allowed to be in like college. Like they had to fight to be able to go to college.
I think we talked about it a couple times last year during the Women's History Month and then also Black History Month, where it was a lot of, there were some female like doctors that were the only females in their school, and they had to fight so much to actually be there. And they were like the first female doctors to be recognized and have a degree from a certain school.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. And that was that they lived less than 100 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is just wild to me. Four, because some feminists aren't willing to address men's issues, though some are. Working towards gender equity means equity for all genders, right? Then what about men? And what about trans folks? This is a question that often gets raised by men about men, not as much for trans folks. Feminism in general has mixed feelings about addressing men's and trans issues. And here's what I'm going to say. Feminism does not have any, like, it depends on what wave of feminism we're talking about. But feminism has been, and this was a conversation I had with a friend not that long ago, a male friend who does not understand his privilege whatsoever. Not you. In case anybody was wondering, it is not James. James is fine. So, but he's just like, feminism has hurt men, and it's been a huge detriment to men because it's made men less manly, has made men less masculine. And I was like, feminism has allowed men to be able to be who they are. Like, the reason that men are able to be more effeminate is because of feminism. The reason that men are able to, like, be less judged. Obviously, I understand that there's still a lot of hurdles for men to overcome as far as being allowed to just be, you know, an emotional human being. But it's still much more acceptable now. And the reason for that is feminism. Like, feminism has done a lot for men.
Right.
And men historically don't seem to notice that.
And I will say, I don't see why it, I mean, the trans portion of the argument or the discussion, I kind of do agree with, especially like trans female. It should still be part of like the feminist movement.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I don't agree with they should be focused on men's issues, because there are so many men and so many like politicians and everybody that they're focusing on men's issues. Feminism should specifically be about women's issues, but I mean, there is where it kind of intersects, where there are some men's issues that do kind of correlate with the female issues as well. So it does make sense where feminism may, like, they may step in and highlight something that's like, well, this is an issue for both the male and female portion, and this is why it needs to be brought up. And it's probably easier to make an argument for it if they attack it from a the male point of view, because it's more likely to be accepted.
Right, which is frustrating.
Yeah. It's back to the sexism thing. If you make the argument where it seems like it's good for men, but it's also equally good for women, then it's more likely to be accepted.
Yeah. And what I'm going to say about, like, trans issues, also, I don't like that this person puts an asterisk next to trans. There's really no reason for that.
I will say there is in the resource why, like, there's something that says what the asterisk means.
Right, but I've read something about about the usage of the asterisk.
Asterisk, yeah.
That it's not inclusive. It doesn't actually help.
Yeah, and it's so just like the basic discussion is says, in writing, using an asterisk at the end of trans is a way to use one shorthand expression to refer to a variety of identities that are incredibly diverse but share one simple common denominator. A trans asterisk person is not a cisgender man or a woman. So what does the asterisk stand for? Transgender, trans man, trans woman, gender queer, agender, transsexual, two-spirit, gender fluid, non-binary, gender non-conforming, bigender, third gender, trans masculine, trans feminine, and androgynous. So that's what the asterisk is meant to be in this context. But I can see what you mean. It kind of goes back to the same conversation we were talking about earlier, where is it demoralizing to have the other checkbox and not just have it listed?
Yeah.
But I totally understand. I see what you're saying. But
I will say that going back to the earlier talking point about how there are some feminists out there, some people who identify as feminists, because I would not call them feminists, who hate men. There are also women out there, J.K. Rowling, who claim to be feminists and hate trans people.
Yeah.
And they are a minority.
Isn't there a term for that? Didn't you say it one time?
Trans exclusionary radical feminists. Though there's nothing radical about their feminism whatsoever. They're basically just as bad as the men that they claim to be trying to protect them, like, other people from. Like, anyway, and J.K. Rowling is the worst. Do not support her. I don't care what house you're in. Don't support her.
Ugh. Yeah, it sucks that those movies are so good.
Just like,
because they're from that terrible monster of a human being.
Right? And I was like, wow.
And then the last one, and then we'll jump to a couple of the 17 lies we need to stop telling women, men, or boys and girls about sex.
Yes.
And the last one is, because sensationalism is a good way to distract from real issues, which we've kind of talked about, actually.
Yeah.
Media is more obsessed with showing negative, and that's part of the thing with because people are more interested in seeing all the negative things. And it talks about Black history. It talks about criminal being a criminal as part of being Black. That's part of what's included in this conversation. And then also gays being given rights. So that's the last one that we'll jump to the next one, which is 17 lies we need to stop teaching girls about sex.
So I think it would be fun for you to read, like, from the boys list.
Okay.
And I'll read from the girls list.
Yeah.
Alternate.
So you want to go for the girls first?
Sure. So number one on the girls list is Virginity Exists. The 2013 documentary How to Lose Your Virginity asks a seemingly simple question. What is a virgin? The answer is actually pretty complicated. The common idea of virginity is focused on a heteronormative, male-centric definition of intercourse, which is penis in vagina equals penetration. But this definition ignores LGBTQ couples, oral and anal sex, instances where it didn't go all the way in, rape, and emotional intimacy. The cultural obsession with virginity is more about keeping girls pure, quote unquote, than anything else. And because the term begins to crumble upon close inspection, it doesn't have to carry such weight. There's no clear universal concept of virginity, and people should be able to define meaningful markers of intimacy for themselves.
Yeah, and I totally agree. I don't understand the whole virginity. I think it touched on a little bit of it, but I think the other thing that I kind of equate virginity with is monetization of female bodies.
Yeah.
Because a quote unquote virgin is more appealing and more, not attractive, but more, back when they, like, you would trade a goat or something for a woman, for a female, or there was a dowry that came along with it. If it was a woman that was a quote unquote virgin, she probably had a higher value than someone that was seen as impure or not a virgin.
Yeah.
So it's back to the icky portion of the monetization and trade of the human person.
Yep.
Just gross.
The female body. Yeah.
Yeah. And then from the men's side, which is a very weird juxtaposition, size is everything. If there's one thing society has consistently equated with manliness, it's the penis size. So it's not surprising that so many guys worry about measuring up. Here's the truth. Size matters to some people, sometimes, but it's not everything. For one thing, guys often hold themselves to an unrealistic standard. Many don't see a lot of erect members outside of porn, which offers a skewed perspective. Porn also has the added benefits of flattering lights, angles, and makeup, making it far from accurate tool of comparison. Average erect size is about 5 to 6 inches in length and 4 to 5 inches in girth, depending on the source. So it's very crazy how the first one, I mean, it's both about sex, but it's size and everything for men, but for women, it's like, virginity isn't real. It brings in like the toxic masculinity thing, where that's the first thing that you're going to put on this list of 17 myths about sex for boys.
Yes.
And I think I will say, I'm going to bring in the people that the guy that you really don't like. But I think it's interesting in a concept that he was talking about on his podcast, Shane Dawson, yeah. Where he has like merch and there's grower and shower. So a grower obviously is it when it's not erect, it can look small, but then it gets larger as it gets erect. Whereas right. a shower, it's about the same size, whether it's erect or not.
Right.
Yes. What are your thoughts, Sarah?
No, that's true. Yeah. But also from the vagina side of things, the average like vaginal depth is 4 inches.
Yeah, and that's also included in here. Average.
Like, that's not like, so the whole, you know, size matters, you know, or doesn't matter. It really just comes down to preference.
Yeah.
And I know that for myself, I generally prefer men who are smaller when I was sleeping with men.
Like, and that, yeah, the very last statement is, besides, the vagina isn't just some keyhole you can toss stuff into. It's only 3 to 4 inches long on average and expands during sex to let something through. Mm-hmm. Other openings don't stretch much at all.
Yeah, like your cervical and cervix, like that opening does not stretch. Like that's
except for during
birth.
But that's because
there's something coming out and that's painful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stretching the cervix is painful.
Anyway. Do you want to go to number two on the girl side?
Yes. So the number two myth is hymens are a sign of virginity. So given that the entire notion of virginity is dubious at best, it's not all that surprising that there's actually no medical way to tell if someone is a virgin or not. This includes a broken hymen. Hymens usually become worn down throughout adolescence and can be torn by everything from jumping on a trampoline to horseback riding to simply playing sports. Fun fact, that's the reason why women weren't allowed to ride horses astride and had to ride side saddle. That's why women weren't allowed to ride bicycles when they first came out with bicycles, because they said that it was going to break their hymens. Fun fact. But the truth is, some women aren't born with one at all. More than half of women don't bleed the first time that they have penetrative sex, but blood on the sheets is still a signifier of losing one's virginity throughout history. Persistence of this myth surrounding a basically irrelevant anatomical feature has even spawned a market for artificial hymens and reconstructive surgery to restore virginity. More disturbingly, girls around the world are often subject to degrading invasive virginity tests to ensure their purity.
And that goes back to the whole conversation about monetizing the virginity. Female body and virginity.
Yeah.
Insane.
I mean, it's the concept of virginity is so wild to me. But like, and I know so many women who've been damaged by these myths. Like their whole sex life has been damaged by a lot of these myths. And it's just really upsetting.
Yeah. I will say these, I think these are written by two different people too. This one's by Julian Ross. And this one, nope, it's by the same person. Interesting. That's weird. I would not have assumed that. All right. Number two for the boys is sex is all about penetration. The common concept of virginity as penis in vagina penetration is too narrow to be meaningful and ignores things like oral and anal sex, the experiences of the LGBTQIA plus couples, and personal conceptions of intimacy. Beyond virginity, there's so much more to sex, love, and relationships than fitting a specific peg into a specific hole. I mean, I think there can be, like, sex is more than just penetration, because there's a lot.
There's a lot involved in sex, and I wish that we had had better sex education, like, growing up, because there's a lot of things that we were told that is just not true, because the sex ed classes that we had were very abstinence only kind of.
Because Indiana is, and that's like the standard and the requirement to teach. If they are teaching, you're teaching abstinence is the only option.
But the thing is that they're only teaching abstinence to the girls. They're not teaching abstinence to the boys, because they show boys how to use condoms. Like, they showed all of us how to put a condom on a banana. Like, so why, how, what are, who are boys supposed to be sleeping with if girls are not allowed to be having sex? Obviously, boys are gonna be sleeping with boys. That's just what's gonna happen.
Or priests. Or Sarah.
Oof. Friends. Anyway. Bringing
religion into it. That kind of goes into the number five on this list.
I'm going to include, I feel like this one should go without saying. But I am going to anyway. Number three, all women are born with vaginas. Obviously, that's a myth. Gender identity is very different from biological sex, and trans women are women, period.
And in the boys, it's the same. Number three is the same. All men have penises. Yeah, it's the same conversation. It's like, just because you're born with one appendage doesn't necessarily mean that's your gender identity. There's a difference between sex assigned at birth and gender identity.
Yeah. And also, the thing that often gets left out of these conversations too is that there's actual scientific evidence that trans people are the gender that they feel, you know? Like, there's been some documentation of this now. And, like, it's something that happens regularly in nature as well. But, you know, whatever. Anyway. Yeah.
I mean, it happens all the time. Where there's, like, female, there's only a group of females, and then in insects or in a species, and then one of them flips and becomes a male so that they can reproduce.
Yep.
It's called evolution, people. Look it up.
But you know. I just lost my place because I was scrolling to see how many there were on here.
17. There's 17, Sarah.
Oh, yeah. Duh.
It's in the title. We don't have to go over. We don't have to go over all of them.
No, and I don't want to go over all of them. I wanted to go over number four because I feel like this one's really, 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 really important. And number four is the first time is going to hurt a lot. And we both know somebody who has been personally affected by that myth.
Yeah.
So much of the pain young women are taught to expect during their first sexual experience actually comes from increased muscle tension due to nervousness. Blood usually comes from vaginal tissue tearing due to lack of lubrication and inexperienced lovemaking, not the hymen breaking. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, really. Maybe if we stop telling girls to be terrified of the excruciating pain of their first time, things would be a little more comfortable for everyone.
And the same thing can be said about anal sex, too.
Agreed. Like, yeah, it does not have to be painful, but yeah. They tell you, oh.
And it is, like you said, and like the article says, it's mainly typically because inexperience. Exactly. So they don't know. They don't know what they need. They don't know how much is too much, and where is the right area. And then, so I'm going to jump to a different one. That's because I don't like number four. And it says boys can't be raped. Rape is a hugely underreported crime, regardless of gender. And a recent national crime victimization study found that there are likely far more male victims than previously thought. In surveying 40,000 households, the NCVS discovered that 38% of incidents of rape and sexual violence were committed against men, well above previous stats, placing the number of male victims at 5 to 14%. Regardless of statistics, denying the reality of male rape is incredibly hurtful to its victims. And it's like, rape can happen to any gender. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does not matter.
It does statistically happen more to females. Yes.
Yes.
That is a valid stat.
Statistically, men are more likely to be perpetrators.
Yes.
So I'm skipping down to sex is supposed to hurt sometimes. Sex is not supposed to hurt.
No. It does. If it does, they're doing it wrong.
It's not. Okay. I feel like there should be just like a little caveat. It's not supposed to hurt unless you want it to hurt. Like, that's the only time it's supposed to hurt.
Yeah.
Is if you want it to hurt. But for many women, it does hurt. Because unfortunately, a lot of men are not interested in, what it takes to get comfortable. They're there for what they want.
Yeah.
It can take 20 minutes of foreplay for a woman's vaginal muscles to relax enough to be truly ready for penetrative sex. And for some women, foreplay isn't the issue at all. There are different conditions like vaginismus. I don't know if that's right. And vulvodyna, are very real, albeit unfortunately not very well known. The result is that many women suffering from these conditions don't realize that there is help available. If sex hurts, it's worth finding a specialist who can talk you through your options.
I'm going to pause for a second because I want to ask you a quick question.
Okay.
All right. So the next one I want to look at is something that, Sarah, you're probably pretty familiar with. Boys don't need the HPV vaccine. Though the human papillomavirus, HPV, is typically associated with women, men can also be carriers and pass the virus to female partners.
Correct.
Because Sarah has firsthand experience. And I did verify that it was okay with her asking or me speaking.
Yes, he verified that it was cool. I think we've talked about my experience with HPV before.
I thought so too, but I couldn't remember, so I didn't want to just jump into it without confirming. So that's why you heard me in this recording say, I'm going to pause for a second real quick. Because otherwise, I would just skip to this conversation. But yeah, it's like the same thing. Like men, boys and men should be getting as like whatever vaccines they can to prevent whatever from happening. So same thing.
I think, hold on. There was, I'm going right back to this one. I think number 11 is the last one that I'm going to do on my end.
Okay.
You have to wax, which goes again to the, of making money off of women's bodies. Despite ads that try to convince women life can only be fully enjoyed stubble free, you do not have an obligation to do anything to your body that you don't want to do. After all, hair removal is still an industry designed like every other to exploit people's insecurities to make the most money possible. It's working too. Hair removal is a $2.1 billion industry in the US. And over the course of a lifetime, the average woman will spend an estimated $10,000 on shaving products. You should do what works for you, whether or not that means buying in.
Yeah. And it's again, it goes back to the whole conversation. It's personal preference. So it's if you like to have your nether region shaved or waxed, go forth and conquer.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't binge to what your partner likes. Your partner should like your body the way it is, and they shouldn't be asking you to do specific things unless you're comfortable with doing them. Like if you don't care either way and your partner prefers a shaved or a well manicured waxed area, then you're fine with it. Then do it. Then that's totally, it's personal preference. Mm-hmm. And I have two more, but I kind of want, I don't know which one I'm going to do both of them because I think they're both pretty, pretty important ones. The first one is 13A, and I'm going to say erection always means a guy wants sex and vice versa. Guys with penises can become hard at random times for random reasons, especially throughout puberty. Spontaneous erections might be embarrassing, but they're normal and sometimes have nothing to do with how aroused someone is. The most common example is nocturnal penile tumescence, aka morning wood, which happens after the brain enters REM sleep and it isn't tied to the sexiness of your dreams. On the flip side, not getting hard doesn't mean a man isn't into getting down. Alcohol and pot can temper things, for example. Erectile dysfunction is also very common, affecting 15 to 30 million men in the US. And then it says, moral of the story, desire is more complicated than the physical evidence lets on. And I think that goes back to the whole rape conversation, because there's so many times where they'll say, oh, well, he was erect, so he wanted it. And it's like, right. No, that's not what that means.
Right. Exactly. That's not how this works.
And then the last one, and then we can move on to something else, is one that I think both of us can agree on is an important one. And a reason I want to include it is if she doesn't say no, that means yes.
Mm. Yep.
There's so much shame and stigma around sexuality that talking about consent might feel awkward, especially when you're young. And we need to get over this, especially because those are most important conversations we can have. From the White House's recent task force to curb sexual violence on college campuses to student protests across the country, it's clear that sexual assault remains a enormous problem for young men and women. Ignorance is no excuse. So consent is always required, not an option. And that was me, not the document.
Yeah. I agree with the last statement from them as well. It says, and no one is ever obligated to have sex with anyone else ever.
Yeah. Like it's the same thing as a contract. Someone, there needs to be a yes in both parties for it to be something that should happen. Yep. And no one owes you sex just because you bought them dinner or because it's your significant other. You're not required to have sex with them just because you are either of those things happened. Well, that was a fun conversation, and I'll be including all of the links to all of the things that we've talked about, so you can explore the other 10 or so items we didn't talk about on each of these lists, if you would like to. And then Sarah, you sent something. You want to finish with that and then we can wrap it up?
So recently, I came across a political video on TikTok. And it was by this person, Jasmine Sherman. They use they, them pronouns, who is running for president. And I'm very intrigued by them specifically, but also because they are, I'm worried that they're being too ambitious.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, I'm like, well, we've got to have somebody who's going to be ambitious. So,
I get what you're saying. And I think to me, it seems like they would be more effective and hold more power and have the more likely ability to be elected if they ran for something like Senate or representative.
Yeah, I feel like if they were already in the Senate or if they were already a representative, they might have a bigger shot at it.
Yeah.
But I think that they are very interesting. And I think that they would be a good candidate. And I just wanted to get your opinions and chit chat about it a little bit.
No, so yeah, I did look at some of the stuff because you sent me the link to their I think the TikTok, and then I kind of explored some of the
what website. Is it called?
Yeah, but not just the website. It's the, what are they, the, what is it called? It starts with an A.
What? I don't know what you're.
What is it called, Sarah?
I don't know what you're trying to.
It's not laws, but it's kind of like their.
Oh, a bill?
No, not a bill. It starts with an A.
An article?
Nope, not an article.
I don't know.
Anyways, their references and like their. Can I think of the word?
I don't know.
Policies. It's not an A. It's a P. Policies. Wow. I don't know what happened there. I've looked at a few of their policies and I agree and I like them. And I also like that they included a document to a video that explains their policies. So you're not just having to read it.
Yes.
But again, I think my problem with, not my problem, but my main concern with something like this is everybody puts too much power on the president, like in that role. And yeah. Really, the president is just like the last person that signs the bill.
Yeah.
Do they have the most, like, do they have the ability to veto the bill? Yes. Do they have the ability to impart their influence on what bills get seen and what bills get passed? Yes. However, it's the representatives and the Senate that are actually the ones that are voting to move that bill forward. And a president cannot just make laws. It has to go through the House of Representatives and the Senate before it can even get to the president. So having like unicorn, we'll say that because it's called the Unicorn Party, mm-hmm. or having a like a underdog do like run for president is great. It's nice to see. It's awesome to see for people that are standing up and saying, I want change. However, it's not likely to have the impact that they want it to.
Right.
And it goes back to the broken system because
it really does.
And what I'm going to say is kind of, it's a negative look on it, but it's just the real, I'm a realist and this is the, what we're dealing with right now. It's if you are voting for someone that is like, say you don't want to vote for Joe Biden because you don't like some of his policies. So you're going to vote for someone that's not even on, you're going to write someone in, or you're going to vote for someone who is on the bill that's not Joe Biden. That's, and this is going to sound bad, but that's basically giving a vote to Donald Trump because our system is broken.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I can't really disagree with that. Like, I'm just like, if
a good way to end our episode, Sarah.
I feel like if I had known about Jasmine Sherman and Candid Blue Bear running prior to now, like, because it's an election year, so like if I had heard of them prior to now, it would have given me opportunity to help campaign and, you know, do like the door-to-door stuff and like be a part of that. But I feel like I only just found out about them.
And we're less than 6 months away from the...
Yeah, and the election's in November. Like, early election, you know, preliminaries are happening right now. So, it's like, oof, that's not enough time to, like, really, I feel like, make a big enough dent. But, you know... Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it would be better to at least do that. I don't know.
I don't know. Like, and like I said, and what a bunch of people are posting, it's, you're not voting for, I don't know. It's such a mess. The whole election system is completely a mess. Because it is like, you do run the risk of, well, I'm voting for this person because it's the only option I have, which sucks, but that's basically the answer. Like, the only reason I'm voting for this person is because it's not the other person. And they have some of my boxes are ticked. Like, they meet some of my standards and some of my, like, personal beliefs, what they're saying and what they've kind of shown in the last 4 years or so, or as they're in the last couple of years, is that they do more align with my moral beliefs and my personal beliefs than the other person. I would never in my life vote for Donald Trump.
Right.
Even if I was paid to, like, $2 million, wouldn't do it.
No.
If someone said, I'm going to kill this person, and it was very, very, I'm going to kill Sarah. Sarah would be like, I'll take the bullet.
Yeah. I'm like, no. What's... No.
Like, if someone said to Sarah, I'm going to kill James if you don't vote for Donald Trump, I would be like, give me the gun, I'll do it myself. She's not voting for him. I'm sorry to tell you.
Yeah, no, I'm absolutely not.
Interesting. But yeah, I'll include the link that you sent to the Unicorn Party with Jasmine Sherman and... what was the other one's name?
Tanda Blue Bear.
In the episode of the podcast. But to me, like I said, I think they would make more of an impact and actually have the impact that they're going for if they were to run for Senate or House.
Agreed.
Well, are you doing anything fun this weekend? Since it is Memorial Day weekend, do you have a long weekend?
I do not. I am working.
I think that goes back to the whole, like, typical, like, quote unquote standard or norm where everybody thinks, oh, well, everyone just works Monday through Friday. And it's like, that's not a thing. It's like Brian's Fridays are not Friday.
Right.
I mean, mine is because I work in a corporate job. So mine is Monday through Friday and I do have Monday off and I'm not working today or tomorrow. So, and we are recording on a Saturday. Yeah. Sarah wanted to.
Yes. Because I didn't think I was going to get home in time and I was frustrated.
So other than working, are you doing anything fun this weekend?
Not really. It's all work.
All work and no play makes Sarah, what is it? All work and no play
makes Jack a dull boy.
Jack a dull boy. All work and no play makes Sarah a dull person. Person. I was going to say NB, but that's not right anymore. Person.
NB works.
Okay.
I'm fine with it. What about you? What are you doing?
I am not doing anything that I can think of other than editing this. And then Ryan and I are going to go to the Ivy Tavern for lunch tomorrow. And I have Monday off, so I'll probably just do school stuff today or tomorrow and then Monday. And that's about it. I currently have a 97% in my class still. So
nice.
And all of our grades are current. So I still have, I think we're on week six. This is the beginning of week six on Wednesday. Wednesday was the beginning of week six. So I have 4 more weeks left and then done with this class, moving on to the next one.
Woot woot.
I need to pull up the script.
Oh yeah, so you can close us out.
One of these days, I'm going to make you do it.
I mean, literally, you could do that at any moment.
All right, well, you ready to call it a podcast?
Yeah, I think I'm ready to call it a podcast. Ooh, sorry. My voice went, I don't know, it's weird, it's complicated. Anyway.
Sarah's going through a third puberty.
All
Well, thank you for listening to this week's episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. If you like this episode, please give us a like, a follow, and don't forget to follow or subscribe. If you would like to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever, this will help get the podcast out to more people and help us grow. Feel free to follow us on social media. Our handle is at Now About That Pod everywhere. So if we don't come up in the search, we're not on that platform. And if there's something specific you would like us to discuss on the podcast, feel free to email us at nowaboutthatpod@gmail.com. Visit our website, www.nowaboutthatproductions.com. Or you can also leave us a voicemail or send us a text message with anything you would like us to discuss. Our phone number is 765-557-4170. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you have a great week since it will be coming out on Monday. And enjoy your Memorial Day if you don't have to work.
Yes.
Sarah, have a great weekend, and email your interviewer.
Yes.
Now.
Yes.
Who was I say?
You're not the boss of me. Okay, maybe a little bit, but anyway.
Make good choices.
Oh my God.
All right, have a great weekend.